Honorable members, support staff, National Treasury team. I'm told National Treasury team is led by Dr. Mampo. Welcome, members of the media and everybody who's on the platform. You're all welcome. As you know, today we are dealing with the second special appropriation bill. Second special appropriation bill, which is the response of government to the further impact of COVID-19 and the unrest of last month, especially in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. You would remember that the president and the minister of finance both announced a government response in trying to assist all those who were affected by COVID and by the unrest I've just referred to. We are all welcome, and we'll be interacting with the National Treasury, as it were. But before we do that, Darren, can I get indications of apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and guests. Yes, we have three apologies for today. It's from Ms. Dikgale, Ms. Ntlangwini, and Ms. Solonyana. That's it, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Darren. Those apologies will be will be noted, but if we are not done by 5:30, I will also have to rush to the doctor. I've got a doctor's appointment, and I'll request Honorable Kaiso to continue and finish the meeting. But let's see how far we go. We do have an agenda in front of us, and that's what's going to guide us today. Dr. Mampo, you know how we do it. I don't know how much time you would need. And then after that, the oral members will discuss your input as far as the bill is concerned. Dr. Mampo?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Thank you so much, Chair, for having us. I don't think this is going to be a long presentation. So I would need about 15 minutes for the presentation, and then I will then take the questions. I'm with my colleagues, but I will take you through the presentation. Can I project the presentation, Chair?
Please continue, ma'am.
Thanks, Chairperson. So, Darren, please allow me to chair, but while I wait for you to help me, I will start with the presentation. So, Chairperson, as you correctly summarized, this bill was as a result of the unrest that took place in KZN, mainly in KZN, and in Gauteng. So the president announced a package that was going to ease the pressure in these two provinces. Yes, thank you. So to ease the pressure in these three provinces. So Chairperson, we had to allocate funding for five votes, so National Treasury, but this is because Korea belongs to the National Treasury, Social Development, Defense, Police, and Trade and Industry. Now, Chairperson and Honorable Members, we had to split the allocations in two ways. Ones that were needed immediately, we had to use Section 16 of the PFMA, which is the emergency funding, and we used the Section 16 for social development for the first 3 months, and then we also used Section 16 for the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition to deal with or to provide relief and support for businesses who were affected but not covered by SASRIA. So the two measures that we have used is to just make sure that at least there's no delay in terms of funding, but for the rest of the funding, honorable members and chairperson, we have put this in the second special appropriation bill for your consideration. So firstly, this is just the summary of what we have allocated. So as I said, for social development, we allocated 10 billion for Section 16, and this is just to cover the 3 months, while for trade, industry and competition, it was 1.3 billion to support small businesses. Now, for the rest of the proposed allocation, Chairperson, we're bringing them in this bill. That would be for SASRIA, 3.9 billion. The rest of the money that will be required for social development to pay the grants up to the end of March, that would be 16.10 billion. For the Defence Force, it's basically to cover the cost for the work that they did in dealing with 700 million and also to support the police 250 million because they had to appoint extra people to go and assist in terms of this. So basically, Chairperson and Honourable Members, this is just a slide that justifies the allocation for SASRIA, but basically SASRIA is, we provisionally allocate 0.9 billion just to add funding for them to deal with the pressure of or supporting businesses that are claiming from SASRIA. However, Chairperson, what we have been specific here is that this is not because they don't know how much they're going to need because they haven't really assessed all the claims. We're just providing the 3.9 billion. It can be more, it can be less, but if it's more, then we can deal with it in the October MTBPS. And if it's less, of course, we will also revise those numbers. But the 3.9 billion was just to get them ready so that they're not in a position where they have insufficient funds. We have spoken to them to judge and they need the money, and they did allude to us that using the special bill will be fine, and even getting the allocations in January will be fine because this is mainly for their balance sheet, so they don't need the funding immediately. That's why we didn't put them in the Section 16 of the PFMA, but put them in the special bill for your consideration, Chairperson. So this is the allocation, of course. It will go to the National Treasury under Asset and Liability Management Program because they look after the entity. Then the second one, Chairperson, would be the SRD 350 grant. So this time around, we have included the caregivers as well because there has been an outcry that caregivers also need to benefit from this 350 grant. And in total, Chairperson, we're thinking approximately 13.2 million will be eligible to receive this grant. And SASA, of course, will be working to make sure that only people who deserve to receive the grant will be receiving the grant. So they'll be doing a lot of means test and also doing some assessment to just make sure the right people get paid. So we're looking at an estimate that we worked with SASA of 26.7 billion. And as I said, part of this has already been transferred to SASA, and then the rest will be transferred as soon as Parliament considers the bill. And then if approved, of course, we will transfer the funding. So part of the 26 billion, Chairperson and Honourable Members, is 500 million that we propose to be transferred to social to SASA for the administration of the grant. So for now, we only we only allocated partial of this amount of the 500 million, and then the rest is coming through to this bill. Then support for business, Chairperson and Honourable Members, there were two departments that submitted proposals for this, and it was the Department of Small Business Development as well as Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. The Small Business Development was proposed that they will reprioritize 300 million from their existing budget. While the DTIC requested 2 billion, but after we had engagement with them, we looked at their budget, we assessed their budgets, we identified 700 million that could be repurposed from their budgets for this purpose. So instead of the 2 billion, they are requesting 1.3 billion, and the 700 million was reprioritize within their budget. I mean, there's a lot of projects that the DTIC has identified. This is just the summary, Chairperson and Honourable Members, of some of the interventions that they were thinking about. So they did a full assessment of the businesses that they will be assisting, and some of they also had engagement with the other stakeholders who will be assisting in dispersing some of these funds, including entities such as CIFA, IDT, and others. So basically what they are looking for was 2 billion, but as I said, they reprioritized some of the money from them, from their own projects, and just to make sure that they cover some of the costs. So this is the project that they will be going into, and this will be some of the interventions that they're proposing to have. What we also said, Chairperson and Honourable Members, to the two departments is that they need to make sure there is no double dipping. So they need to work together to avoid a situation where businesses apply to SASRIA, apply to small business, apply to DTIC. So these teams have to work together to just make sure that there is no double dipping and the businesses only receive one form of assistance rather than multiple forms of assistance. So this is the 1.3 billion, Chairperson and Honourable Members, that we propose it should be allocated to trade, industry and competition. Then, as I said, for police, this is just mainly for the deployment of additional police and the fuel and some of the administrative costs. And for the Defence Force, basically, it is the deployment of military personnel in KZN, and also there's another deployment, of course, as part of the SADC standby force. So the 700 million is proposed to cover both of this deployment for the SNDF. Then Chairperson, of course, this would be the allocations in term of the bill. So Chairperson, this is the bill in summary, and we are requesting Parliament to consider these proposals so that we can do the allocation. But as I said, Chairperson, for social development and ID, trade and industry, some of the money has already been allocated through Section 16 of the PFMA. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Dr. Mampo. As you said, it's quite a short bill. Honourable Members, it's our turn now. Here's the bill in front of us. Can I hear who would like to ask or comment on the bill?
Chair Honorable Saropin, I'd like to comment.
Honorable Saropin, good morning.
Good morning, Chair Matafa.
Honorable Matafa, morning.
Chair, my hand was up in the thing, in the whatever it's called, where you raise your hand. So I'll come in after Honorable Matafa.
Thank you. Honorable Nkwangwa, good morning. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Kaiso. Honorable Kaiso. Morning, Honorable Kaiso. Takes care of everyone who'd like to say something, Honorable Members. Let's start with Honorable Saropin. Honorable Saropin.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So I have a couple of questions. The first is with regards to all of these allocations, and in particular SASRIA, what will happen if SASRIA's claims exceed the 3.9 billion surplus that is going to be paid to them? And what will that be the consequences of that, considering that they're not going to get a full allocation at this stage, just 3.9? The second question is, how does this adjustment appropriations bill overall affect the deficit and the borrowing that the country has to do? Where, what is the source of funding for all of these additional expenditures? I would like to get some indication as to that. And what will this do to our credit rating if we have to borrow? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sarupen, Honorable Matafa.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the presentation from Dr. Mampo. Like you say, it was a very short one. I also had just two questions, but the first one Honorable Sarupen has covered, where he speaks about the funding gap. What is the source and what impact will this bill have on our expenditure estimates, as well as the revenue that we anticipate to have as a nation? But the second point, Chair, is on the issue of the small business grant or facility or allocation, if I can call it that, the 300 million. I'm just interested to find out, how was this amount arrived at? Was it based on particular and specific programs that the ministry has put together in their request for funding? Or is it based on those requests that have been put through based on the impact of COVID? Or are they specific in terms of how they are going to be approached? Coupled to that, Chair, is how is the National Treasury going to assist these departments to ensure that all the allocations that are put forward actually deliver on what they are intended for, particularly if we consider the guaranteed loan scheme during the time of the pandemic? And I'll keep on humping on this one, Chair, because every time you raise the issue, you get different responses. The last response we received was that the scheme underperformed because there was no uptake from those that it was intended to serve. But when we do our constituency work, business people raise the issue that the scheme was not friendly, particularly to Black entrepreneurs. Now, I'm interested to find out, how then do we ensure that this 300 in particular is going to perform and also have the desired impact? And also, maybe lastly, will this be a grant or will this be in a form of a loan? But that will assist, obviously, if we hear how they arrived at the 300 million. I'll really appreciate to have those answers, Chair. Thank you so much for the opportunity to participate in this discussion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matafa. Honorable Peters, sorry for not seeing your hand. Remember, we have got right here that you shouted to the chairperson. Chairperson, I want to talk. Please come in.
Chairperson, I'm sitting in a very awkward position. Can I switch? I be allowed to switch off the camera?
Please, it's fine.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much, Dr. Mampo and team, for the presentation. And like Honorable Matafa and Honorable Sarupen has indicated, it is truly a very short a bill, and it goes direct to the point. My first question, Chairperson, is that I would want to know how much, if you take off the 32 billion or whatever, how much is 32.9 billion? How much remaining in the contingency fund? Secondly, Chairperson, it is very interesting that South Africa has got this insurance called SASRIA. And I want to know, Chairperson, from Dr. Mampo, whether this is a uniquely South African issue and whether there is other countries in the world that has got this particular type of insurance and its affordability and the history behind it. But also, how long has South Africa been having this cover? And is many of the businesses aware that they could actually enlist with for a minimum premium with SASRIA? So it would be important for us to know as the committee. But also, Chairperson, I've noted, and I would believe that it's because probably the agricultural sector has not been quantified, because I would believe that the loss in terms of crops, the loss in terms of the value of the land, now that some of the crops have been burnt down, how long it will take to recover, maybe that has not been costed. But has there been a purchase or a engagements by the Department of Land Reform and Agriculture, together with their provincial counterparts to National Treasury, for an assessment of this nature? Maybe I must go back to the question raised by Honorable Sarupen, whether the damage has been quantified, and if it then happens that there's access needed for Sasria, where would National Treasury then get those resources? But also, Chairperson, one would want to know, these businesses that have been affected, that will be supported through Sasria, have National Treasury and the Department of DTIC and small business done an assessment? Because, Chairperson, every opportunity that government makes to intervene in the economic space, to alleviate the pressures of our communities, to do whatever, has been actually met with corruption. And I think it is important that we get to know whether National Treasury and the relevant departments have put in place systems that would can avoid double dipping, can avoid people abusing this particular intervention. But also, Chairperson, you'd remember with the intervention that was done for the small business in the COVID, in the pandemic environment, the small businesses, in particular Black owned and women owned, claimed that they did not qualify, even in terms of the loan guarantee schemes that were introduced. You'd find that there are companies or there are businesses, especially those run by Black people, that are unable to qualify. And at the end of the day, then these resources don't get spent, then they revert back to the national revenue fund. So it is important for us to know whether this has been quantified. What is National Treasury and the relevant departments going to do if there is going to be double dipping? And how do you make it possible that you prevent fraud and corruption in this process? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Peters. Honorable Nkwankwa.
Chair, to some extent, the previous speakers have covered me, but there are certain points I want to raise. Firstly, I think it's important that we are told about what conditions are going to be attached to the support that is being given to businesses that were affected by the unrest. Why? Because we can't keep doling out money to businesses that aren't aligned with the socioeconomic objectives of the country that we seek to achieve. I want to put it to you, at times we bail out businesses that continue to employ illegal and undocumented migrants with the sole intention and purpose of exploiting them so that they maximize profit while excluding the majority citizens from the economic mainstream. If businesses aren't made aware of that and we don't put conditions in place to ensure that their objectives that they want to achieve are at least aligned with the socioeconomic development objectives of the country, we are wasting our time. And wasting the tax. I like this Sasria thing. The first time I heard about this Sasria insurance was when I started working for a bank. And I'm glad for the first time to see it in action. But the question I want to ask is, at what point does it kick in? Does it only kick in when malls and big businesses are being affected? In instances of looting and violence in the townships, especially the xenophobic violence that flared up, I think, in 2015 and 2008, although when it started, it targeted shops, say, of foreign nationals, But it got to a point where it got out of hand and other people's businesses in the townships were affected. But there was no similar intervention. At what point then do we tap into the SASRIA facility, or at what point do we provide this kind of assistance? Is it only when businesses in upmarket areas are affected, or can we in future say if something similar happens? Because remember, even that looting that takes place in the townships during those instances, especially that goes to the extent of affecting other people's businesses, we should be able to have some kind of intervention because it affects their livelihoods. That's the second question. The other issue, which I think for me is important, is the creation of this industrial loan facility, the reprioritization of this 500 million rands. How many businesses are going to be affected by this reprioritization? But I think also the other issue, Chairperson, before I keep quiet, is the TES facility that was provided, was there was massive corruption and fraud. But you don't see any naming and shaming. You don't see any companies being held responsible. You don't see anyone being arrested. But if it were politicians, I'm sure we'd be arrested by now. We tend to turn a blind eye to private sector corruption in South Africa. So if we can't make statements of hope and say we hope people aren't going to double dip or triple dip. People are going to double dip and triple dip if there are no proper systems put in place to ensure that there are sanctions in event, harsh sanctions in event that people tap into this scheme fraudulently. So I think we need to put measures in place to ensure that that doesn't happen. And in instances where it does happen, because it will happen, knowing the kind of people we're dealing with in South Africa, whether you talk about the private or public sector, what sanctions are we going to impose? But we must get to a point where if people commit fraud in these things, that there must be naming and shaming, and we must publicly see what kind of sanctions are imposed. They're not long-winded investigations that never amount to anything. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kwankwa. Honorable Kaiso.
Thank you very much, Chair, and Dr. Mampo for making this presentation from Treasury. Let me take also the cue from my comrades, honorable members who made input around the presentation, the second appropriation bill. But I just want to, maybe before I go to question, just to check on, because, you know, this matter has been coming and going, Dr. Mampo, on the issue of post office wealth, where I know that it's not the Treasury which manage post office, but you see the closure of some branches in the post office as actually, you know, posing a serious problem whilst we are talking about the issue of, you know, 350 grants that people are supposed to get, which at the end of the day, we may seem, you know, a serious pickup, serious problem as the time goes by, because I'm sure you have seen around the country those long queues where desperate poor people are making queue with the hope that they will, you know, receive the grant, but due to, you know, the threat of closure of post offices, some might be disappointed at the end of the day. I don't know how is Treasury going to, you know, make sure that there's a collaboration between Treasury and the relevant your institutions, such that now the people should not get disappointed at the end of the day. And the issue of corruption, like Honorable Kwankwa has talked about, I think our experience through the PPEs. We have seen how people have amassed themselves, you know, through PPE's project, monies which were not supposed to be theirs. And we don't want to go through that, repeat that mistake again once more. So I just want to check, what measures are you going to put in place, for instance, where some businesses have found to have engaged themselves in fraudulent activities, through double dipping? Because I want to agree with Honorable Kwankwa that you may not find only at the public service corruption, but also in the private sector. But how Treasury is going to deal with that situation, because we have learned a bad experience through the PPEs deals. And lastly, Chair, I know it's not Treasury which is going to deal with this issue at the end of the day. I mean, it's not really part of this, but I just want to throw it, Dr. Mampu, because we don't want to get surprised, because some of the things get thrown into public and then you don't know what's going to happen. Because I just want to sense, because, you know, higher education, or I mean, the issue of COVID has brought about immense pressure on education in the country. So I don't know what measures are there that seek to deal with this challenge, because they seem to pose a very serious problem and pressure on the Department of Education. I know it's not really part of this, but I just want to, because you, if there are issues that time and again gets into the public space, then they create a problem, because we don't want to be taken by surprise that no, we are now short of money, therefore there's a need to appropriate, etc., because one is aware that COVID-19 has put a lot of pressure on the Department of Education. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, oral members. I will be giving you a second bite on this in case there's... yes, oral members.
I've had my hand up a long time. Thank you.
Please. Okay.
Chairman, sorry.
Okay. You remember that I gave you the right here that I always ask who wants to talk. So
yes, Chair.
So I'll definitely just shout at me that when I ask for those names, eh? Okay, let me allow Honorable Mlenzana to come in.
Chair, sorry for this. I am in a very awkward position here. There's even wind. So I could hardly catch up, but I had some presentation from Dr. Mampo, and let me welcome it. And then I wrote on the chat box because I thought I wouldn't be there, but let me talk to what I wrote. I wrote whilst Dr. Mampo was still presenting. I'm partly covered by the first part of my question. Colleagues raised it around the sources of this funding. But then the second part would be, clearly we are actually robbing Peter to pay Paul here. And I think it is high time, Dr. Mampo, that our South African electorate be schooled around this. That money doesn't come anywhere. It comes from within. So surely there has been cuts. And now if you can share with us how much has been cut from where and what are the impact that we may be having to address, because surely there is the negative impact on the way due to this cutting that has happened to try and get up to this actually appropriation. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mlenzana. Honorable Sheikh, please come in.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Chair, I must extend my apologies. I'm attending to three meetings simultaneously. It's very difficult to concentrate. I thought you kicked me out because of meetings, but thank you for allowing me in again.
No.
Yeah, I've got a few questions that raise some of them, but one of the, I see there's 250.
Honorable Sheikh.
Allocate. Yes, sir, I'm with you. Can you hear me, Chairperson?
We're losing you. Please, if you don't mind, you can switch off your video.
Maybe you don't like my face. Thank you. Is that okay now, Chairperson?
I want to hear you. Yeah, please.
You know, the 250 million allocated for the deployment of police officers and 700 for defense force. My question is, what measures is Treasury putting? And I know this is not entirely their responsibility to ensure that you get value for money, because on the ground, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, and what I'm observing, you know, for me, to be honest with you, I believe a lot of this money that we are allocating is not getting value for money. You find groups of police officers just standing around doing nothing. In fact, if I need them, I know where to find them. I find them at all the food outlets. I'd like to know how we're getting value for money, but I think my colleagues spoke about the issue of corruption and how these things are going to be managed, particularly now the Rusasria, with those businesses that have been affected. How is this going to be managed to try and prevent what we've had with PPE scandals and things, to ensure that the recipients of these are the people that have really been victims and that are entitled to what they're getting? The other issue is what measures are you going to put in place to ensure small businesses who now do not fall and have not taken the necessary SASRIA insurance in the past will in some way, what mechanism would you put to ensure that in the future we could cover these people? Because the unrest that we had and looting is only the beginning of many more to come, in my personal view, based on my understanding of what is going on in the country. So how would we try to prevent this? Because the impact on the fiscus and on the taxpayers and the borrowings that we are continuously, where we have now almost reached a fiscal cliff in this country, is going to impact on economic growth in this country if we're going to continuously borrow and borrow and borrow. So how are we going to mitigate against this and try and actually prevent that in the future? Now, you know, the last thing that I want to touch on there, particularly those businesses, and you may have covered it, Chairperson, while I was attending to the police committee, those businesses that are not covered at all, and I know that we gave an assurance there's going to be assistance to them. When is this going to unfold? What is the process that is being followed? And we're inundated with calls from people that said the government was going to be giving them assistance. So people are waiting for this assistance. And then, of course, lastly, I'll go, you've allocated this money for a fixed period of time. And remember that initially when we spoke about it, it was as a result of the unrest. Then we had a situation in the country where there was an anticipated protest march that was going to take, and police and the defense force was on high alert, were being deployed as well, which meant you needed further allocations to try and prevent that. Now, what is going to happen in the future? Because remember, that protest march has been postponed, not cancelled, postponed. How are we going to, because this is, I see, for a limited period of time, how are we going to plan for that future, for these protest march that are going to continue and these disruptions in terms of financial finances, particularly for Defence Force and the South African Police Services? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Sheikh. Is there another honorable member who would like to say something before? Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much, Dr. Mampo and the team. And I must say that it's listening to the honorable members, it's very clear that we are troubled by same and similar problems. If I repeat some of these things, it will be more of a matter of emphasis and the way it is affecting us as honorable members and the view we take on these things. Perhaps let me start on this one, which is an elephant in the room. I think we have said this, that corruption and malfeasance, when it affects big business in this country, it's a hush-hush thing. You'll hear people saying that they've paid back the money, but the initial act was a fraud, and there seems just to be no appetite to charge them. So it looks like a big business or business will just be able to get an out of jail card by paying money. So again, it's justice which is so much embedded on the inequalities which were created, not by the majority of people of this country. So I think, honorable members, I think it's something that we should see how we deal with this. There's so much, Julia, no. They've agreed to pay back R1 billion, right? But if it's a Mr. Mukwena somewhere, he's found to have stolen R2 million, R3 million, there's no paying back. You go to jail straight, and it's a big front page news. What one is saying is that we can't allow that, where a situation where companies have been involved in fraud, nobody goes to jail, nothing happens. We just see there was a settlement. Settlement with who? Because this is the money that we sit here and appropriate. So Dr. Mampo, I know that what you are saying doesn't necessarily concern you only, but since we are talking about appropriations here, that's the issue that I think we need to deal with. I know for a fact that I think if it was not presented here, I read it that there are companies which defrauded the Department of Labor, and they were found to have claimed the TERS, found to have claimed on behalf of the employees, and that money never reached the employees. And I think we should find a way of calling the Department of Employment and Labor, calling UIF, calling Compensation Fund, colleagues. I think that's how, because we have never had a discussion with them. It's about 2 years now that they've been at the center of money distribution, so that you can get it from the horse's mouth. It is a big thing, and we need to follow up on it. I think the same one would say the same thing about the South African Special Risk Insurance Association, that is the SASRI that we are talking about. We also need to interact with them. I think there are questions where other members wanted to know what happened to this and so on. Therein, I think we should find a way, especially the SASRIA and and Department of Employment and Labor, UIF and Compensation Fund, because I think we need to take stock of what has happened and its impact. Related to this, WAP is allocating money now. I'm again throwing it to you, Dr. Mamp. What do you propose we must do to deal with the departments and entities where you as treasurer, you come and make a very strong case for the allocation of the money, but year in, year out, you find that there are perennial offenders in terms of underspending, greatly underspending the money. And we are seeing here that the money that goes to them, there's an opportunity cost of that money. It could have gone somewhere else and be used much, much better. But we get that money. That's one, the opportunity cost of it. But two, the people who are supposed to benefit from that allocation by Parliament, they never received that money. And guess what? Every time the people will be blamed for that will be government in general, and that doesn't exclude us. So again, what do we do? Because we seem to be preaching one and the same gospel, but nothing changes. Related to questions again asked by oral members, is how do we measure the impact of these interventions? It's one thing to come here for appropriations committee and parliament and appropriate money, right? But at the end of the day, what we are concerned about is the impact on economic growth, the impact on inequality, employment creation, the impact on seeing Black business, women business, youth business, also taking a bigger stake in the economy. We can't always be coming here appropriating money, but the impact of it, nobody seems to be to be saying, yes, so much was spent, 2.02 trillion rand was appropriated by Parliament, was dealt with by this committee. But what is the impact of that? I think we need to start focusing on that. Otherwise, these many zeros that always come here and we allocate, that's not what we're about. I think the department would have dealt with that accounting exercise. We are not accountants. At the end of the day, when we distribute money, it's because we want to see the change. And the biggest change that we are looking at it in this country is the inclusion of the people who were kept out of the economy for 350 years, right? So we can't always be coming and even knowing that money, they also receive a great percentage of it. As Honorable Nkwankwa was saying that, talking about SASRA, is the first time we hear SASRA standing up, but there have been so many businesses before, and by and large, those businesses would have been struggling businesses in townships and in rural areas. But we've never had SASRA intervening. As I said, that as far as that is concerned, I think we definitely need to get time, Darren, to allow the honorable members to interact with SASRA. I think Ron Matafa spoke about this one, the interventions, especially to small business and to DTIC. Is it grant or loans? And if it's loans, when it comes to small businesses, black businesses which are struggling, is there any differentiation in terms of price? Price discrimination, it's an allowed thing, right? Taking into consideration that people are not having similar challenges. So I'm then saying, is it a grant or is it a loan? If it's a loan, is there any differentiation in terms of the price that the recipients will have to pay for that money? Related to some of the questions raised by our members, right? Again, it is a big concern. It is a big concern to this committee and to Parliament in general that the money that we are allocating, how to ensure that it reaches the people it's intended to reach, one, but two, it reaches those people on time so that they're able to. A day which passes in business without proper cash flow when there's money which has been allocated, it's a long time. So just saying that, how do we efficiently ensure that this money reaches their intended beneficiaries? I think those will be my questions. Before I go back to Dr. Mampo, any other member who, Honorable Sheikh, I was saying something, or is an old hand? Okay. I think let's allow Dr. Mampo to respond to those things that she can respond to. Dr. Mampo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am here. I'm actually thinking, Owuthi, usually when I do a very long presentation, I get very few questions. And today, when I did a short presentation, you know, Chairperson and honorable members, the questions that you have asked are very difficult and very relevant. So I'm just going to try and group them so that I can give you a sense of the thinking when we did this. So in terms of SASRIA, Chairperson and honorable members, basically SASRIA was established after the Soweto uprising. So it's about 42 years now. And it's one of the few, if not the only one, that looks at or covers riots in terms of insurance. But basically, the SASRIA insurance is provided through agent companies. So I think businesses that have insurance just need to check in their contract whether they will be covered by SASRIA, because if you have an agent in between, you just want to make sure you're covered. So what I think is going to be important, Chairperson, is for businesses to make sure that if they go to, for example, OUTsurance and they look for cover, they must make sure that they add SASRIA as part of the cover. I think because most businesses don't think that riots or natural disasters will affect them, they tend to save costs through not having SASRIA. So one way of dealing with this, I'm not too sure whether we have the liberty to force companies to form part of SASRIA, but that is one thing that we can try to do, is to make sure there's awareness that there is this particular insurance and it's not expensive from what I know, and businesses can form part of it. So Chairperson, I think from your calendar, I see that you'll be meeting SASRIA in the next couple of days. So I'm sure they will add meat to this, but I think the key for me would be how this will be funded. So as I said in the presentation, the 3.9 billion is just the estimate of what SASRIA is going to need. When we were having these discussions, Chairperson and honorable members, they explained that they'll be needing between 2 billion and 7 billion. And this will be to augment their balance sheet. So the money that they need is not urgent. It can be done through this special bill, and also it can be done through the MTBPS. So we're hoping, I mean, the maximum is about 7 billion. If there's a shortfall, then we have to consider additional funding for them in the MTBPS. Now, when we were looking at funding options for this initiative, we looked at three possible funding sources. We looked at reprioritization, we looked at tax increases, we also looked at what happens when we increase the borrowing. So all three options were looked at. We did the assessments, we went through the departmental budgets to try and see what we can find. So what we did was we looked at the underspending to date and what are the possibilities in terms of reprioritization. So when we did the reprioritization exercise, honorable members, we realized that because of the significant budget reductions that we implemented in departmental budget, it is close to impossible to reprioritize such a significant amount of money. Therefore, we went through the budget, we looked at the underspending, and all we could find in terms of the first quarter underspending was less than 2 billion. I think it was like 1.5 billion. So we realized that now the departments have already committed their budget, so it's not possible to reprioritize this amount. Then we also looked at the possibility of raising debt and its implications. And we, from the analysis that was done, that was also not a viable option, and increasing taxes was also not a viable option. So we basically looked at the revenue collection from 2020-21 that was higher than projection. So basically, there was a 38 billion last year that was collected, which was higher than what we projected. So these interventions will be funded through that higher than projected revenue to avoid a situation where we have to reprioritize in a space where it's almost impossible to reprioritize, and given the fact that we can't really increase taxes in the current year. So the reason why we limited the intervention to 32 billion is because we had to look at what government can afford. So basically, Chairperson, this will be funded through last year's higher than expected revenue. So there's no impact on the debt, and also there is no impact on the spending envelope of the departments where we were going to reprioritize. Then, Chairperson and honorable members, in terms of small businesses, let me just explain the process that took place. So when the riot started, the two departments came to Treasury, or basically we asked the departments to let us know whether they will be intervening in the space. So when we assess the applications, the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition did a survey where they basically tried to quantify the cost of the disaster and also who was affected by this. So they did a survey and they spoke to different businesses. This includes shopping malls, it includes fast food outlets. They also looked at saloons, surgeries, barbershops, shops or businesses. What they also did was they're trying to do this on a continuous basis so that they update their numbers. So basically what DTIC proposed to us when we were looking at the funding is that they were looking at a category where they do a critical infrastructure refurbishment. So that has been allocated 600 million. So this is where they support bulk infrastructure development in affected economic areas. Then the second one will be industrial loan facility. And this facility is basically to support manufacturing companies which are affected by the looting. Basically, the target for this, Chairperson, is to rebuild the infrastructure, the fitting, restocking, and some of the working capital. And this is done it will be administered through the IDC. And this is basically through financing the businesses that are not covered by the insurance or funding, or the ones that have a gap between what the insurance pays out and what they need. Then there's a retail recovery support fund. So this is not a grant, this is a fund. And basically this will provide partly interest-free loans to some of the companies that have been affected that don't even have the insurance, basically targeting the small companies. But also there's the interest makeup scheme that will provide interest subsidy to exporters. And this will be implemented in partnership with the South African financial institutions. And this will be aimed at supporting companies that are affected by the crisis. So the DTIC has different interventions targeted at different businesses within the cohort of businesses that have been affected by this. And then in terms of small business, when they did the application, basically they just reprioritized money to give to its entity, which is CIFA, and basically they'll be doing the assessment through the agency. But what we have realized, as I said, Chairperson, is that we have to come up with a way in which we avoid double dipping. So to do that, we National Treasury and the Presidency, we're working on designing a portal. This is at its advanced stages. And basically this portal will be looking at, will be ensuring that all businesses are registered in the portal and the allocations will be captured in the portal. The reporting will also be captured in that portal. And the reason why you would need a portal is to make sure that whatever business is allocated funding in the portal, it will be clear that this business has already gotten money from SASRIA, this one got money from DTIC. So it's a one-stop portal where you see what has been allocated for these businesses to try and deal with double dipping. I mean, this is work in progress, but we're already implementing it. And Chairperson, because the businesses needed funding on an emergency basis, as Honorable Member Peterson asked, is that we allocated the 1.3 billion through Section 16 of the PFMA, where the funds were released immediately to the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. But we also made sure that we reprioritize for the 300 million immediately and also for the 700 immediately. So the departments have already been allocated the funding to ensure that the businesses get the money as required. The contingency reserve was not used for this purpose, Chairperson. If you remember when we came at the time of the budget, this was 12 billion, and most of this has been allocated to the Department of Health for the vaccine and also to deal with the third wave. So basically the contingency reserve was only used for the purpose as stated in the budget and not for this intervention. So whatever money that is left in the contingency reserve will still be used for amongst other things for the health intervention. And then the conditions that are attached to businesses, I think, Chairperson, the one that was key for me was the fact that the businesses that will be supported is the businesses that will continue to do business, because it didn't make sense to basically give businesses grant funding only to find that the businesses are just going to close shop. So the biggest condition is that they have to stay in business and they have to employ the people that they were working there. However, I don't think there were any conditions in terms of who they must employ and all of that. I think that would be the Department of Small Business that can assist the committee in explaining how they're trying to deal with the issue of South Africans versus non-South Africans working in these businesses. But for us, in terms of financing, the key condition was that you stay in business and then you continue, because some of the some of these businesses wanted the insurance money and then they close shop. But one of those conditions is that they stay open. Chairperson, in the event of the post office and how the people are receiving the grants, I think SASSA is trying its best to deal with this. They have also been speaking to banks to try and reduce the queues in the post office. So I think it's a combination of how do they easily transfer the funding to the recipients? And I'm talking to the financial banks. It's going to help ease the pressure in terms of the post office. Chairperson, the post office has a lot of they have financial issues that they still have to deal with. So I think what is key is for SASSA to make sure that they spread the responsibility of paying social grants and not limit them to the post office only. The question on the COVID impact on education, I think, Chair, what I can say here is that at the time of the budget, Cabinet asked National Treasury and the Department of Higher Education to look at the sustainability of the fee-free higher education, and we have been working on that, and some of the outcomes have been presented in Cabinet, but the overall response and the plans on how this is going to be funded will definitely be in the MTBPS. Chairperson, you asked the difficult question of what to do with departments who underspend. And my worry is that I'm coming back to the committee in October, and I have a lot of departments that they've underspent. So I must think about how I'm going to answer you when I come back, because I'm sure you're going to raise the question again. But I think what is important for me is the reasons why they underspend. If the reasons why they underspend is because of inefficiencies, then we will have to look at the programs and then see how we can change the program. So for example, if you have a department that is not spending because of the lockdown, it is acceptable. But if you have a department that is not, it's underspending because the program design is flawed and they're not getting efficiencies in their program, I think we have to look at the program design. But as you may be aware, Chairperson, it's very difficult for the departments to change the way in which they do business. But we've been working with them this year. We have been doing spending reviews to try and assist them in redesigning some of the spending programs that they have. And that work will be presented by the minister either in MTBPS or at the time of the budget, with the hope that some of the recommendations that the parliament and this committee will have a look at them and then see which ones you think are worth implementing, and then we will be implementing those. So we have been doing quite a lot of spending reviews to try and redesign the government system to ensure efficiency. Chairperson, I will ask Dr. Randani to deal with the police and the defense questions. Just before he joins, I see the credit loan guarantee scheme. Chairperson and honorable members, this scheme was not included as part of the package because we are still redesigning it because it was not yielding the results that it was intended for. So we are still working on the scheme. We have been consulting just to see, isn't there a better way to implement the scheme? So the reason why it's not part of the package is because by the time the president made the announcement, we were not ready with the new design and we still needed to do consultation, especially with the departments and the banking sector that were implementing the scheme. So once we redesign it and it's finalized, I'm certain that we will be coming to the committee to present the new scheme. Randani, please come through for police and defense.
Good morning, honorable members, and thanks, Mampo. Chairperson, I will try to address some of the few questions raised. Let me start with the question that was raised by Honorable Imam, and I think yourself. It talks to the value for money issues. Let me start by making a proposal that perhaps when we appear before the committee, when we present quarterly expenditure reports, I think the same invite can also go to the Department of Learning, Monitoring and Evaluation so that they can also present on the what the money is buying. So, and then coming specifically to the issue of the deployment, I think we must ask ourselves a question like, what would have happened had we not deployed additional police personnel and the military? It appears now that it's peaceful. Do we attribute that to the deployment? What would have been the situation like without additional police and the military? So I think we're beginning to see the impact of this deployment, because at the moment, we no longer have riots. It appears as if it's peaceful. However, budgeting for this deployment, it's almost like trying to predict weather. Because when we started, for example, the defense force was expected to exit, I think, around 12th of August. And now the deployment has been extended to the 12th of September. In Mozambique, they're deployed for 3 months. They're expected to exit, I think, on the 15th of October. So on that basis, this extension is almost like budgeting for the Commission of Inquiry, the state capture one. That too, because of the extensions, it has been very difficult. The same with this deployment. With police, for example, when they started with 35,000 members, and then they had to jack up the numbers to 58,000 members. It's a moving target, Chairperson, which is a bit difficult to budget based on something like that. However, we'll keep engaging and them monitoring the situation to see as to whether if there are this extension, and then we'll see how best to fund this additional deployment. On the issue of corruption, I would also like to propose that perhaps the committee can invite the Special Investigating Unit and the NPA, maybe including the DPCI, the Hawks, to make a presentation specifically on COVID investigation, on COVID investigations. So, however, the NPA, they have got an indicator on the number of people convicted of crime or corruption in the private sector. So it is not that maybe we're putting emphasis on the public, but we're also putting emphasis on corruption in the private sector. Perhaps also the committee can invite the NPA, where they can elaborate, for example, on the profile of the nature of, on the profile of these people investigated, the nature of corruption cases, so that you can get the full details in terms of what they're doing in the private sector regarding the investigation of corruption. I think I've dealt with all the questions that I had to deal with. Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members.
Thanks, Rendani. Chairperson, just on the last question that I didn't address, how to measure impact of the funding. I think part of the design of the portal will have an element where we can measure the successes of the businesses that have been allocated funding vis-a-vis the ones that didn't survive. But I think what we will have to do when I go back is just to make sure that when they design the portal, most of these value for money, how to measure which businesses got the money, the names of the businesses and all of that will have to be included in the portal so that when we come and report, we can easily say 100 businesses got the money, of the 198 of them survived and they have employed this number of people. So I think that information will be captured in the portal that the National Treasury and the Presidency is designing for ease of report back, Chair. I think we covered most of the questions. Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Dr. Mampo. Honourable Members, any second bite, quick one?
Chair.
Honorable Gwangwa.
I just want to ask a question, one quick question to the Honorable Doctor there. She said, I think some of the funding was paid out on an emergency basis. Is that information, has it been captured on that very same portal? Because my understanding of that portal, it serves as a control mechanism to make sure that there's no double dipping. So are those details going to be captured there to make sure that those companies that have been funded, probably say via DTI, because the portal is still work in progress, will be captured, they have the information on the system so that they don't do double dipping? The last issue has to do, I accept that the deployment of the army and the police is a moving target. And perhaps from National Treasury, the only aspect that we want to hear is whether monies have been allocated and for us to also appreciate their difficulty in budgeting for this. But the assessment of whether the deployment has worked or not, I think, is really a political matter and a political decision, because then we are going to open a can of worms about who agreed the deployment, who didn't agree, what were the reasons and what were the issues, what were the political considerations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gwangwa. Any other honorable member would like to have a second bite?
Yes, Chair. Just one question on the... I forgot to ask about this. Perhaps I might have read the wrong slide. On the issue of police and defense, because we sort of learned a hard lesson during the previous, during the violence and riot, whereby it appears that the issue on goods and services was a bit a challenge, especially on the police. So maybe by way of looking at the budget, to what an extent would you comment on the issue of, you know, allocation to goods and services? Because it does seem to have been very critical issue. Because now, if we learn late that now actually the budget was for just salaries, it may mean a different story now. I just want to check that. Thank you very much.
Any other honorable member? Okay, I take it that our questions have been answered. Just to on SASRA, we're definitely meeting SASRA next week on the 8th of September.
So some of the questions that were asked may better be addressed by them when they appear before us next week. I said we'll work out on the Department of Employment and Labor UIF and Compensation Fund to try and get some time, because they've been at the center again of these interventions. And again, they are the ones who have been big time defrauded in the process. Dr. Mampo? Yes, Honorable Nkwangwa. Is it Honorable Nkwangwa or Mlenzana?
Yes, there might be. I accept that there might be a few instances have been arrested in the private sector for corruption.
Yeah.
But the problem is a problem where, let's go back to the 2010 FIFA World Cup,
yeah,
where big companies defrauded the state. They colluded, but only those issues were only settlements. And you didn't see any CEO or of a major company being arrested for the fraud committed by their companies. KPMG recently, with the Gupta's issue, I beg your pardon, what happened to them, right? For giving fraudulent audits. Now, accountability, you resign and it's done. But if it's in the public sector and you happen to be Ngabayom Zikwangwa, right, or some Joe Soap, then you can't do settlements. There's no luxury to do that. You must be arrested and go and serve your time. So these are issues that we need to discuss, perhaps at a different forum, not yet, as we try to tighten laws that deal with this fraud and corruption issue, both in the public and private sectors.
I think, Kwankwa, it's a valid point. And this committee must deal with this, because it's the money that you appropriate from this committee that it's misused, abused, and illegally gotten from the institutions that we allocate money to. So as we always say, as long as you get money from government, you are a client. So there is some accountability that we really need here. And this thing of related to that, of people say, you hear that people have paid the money back and that was the end of the story. But there was a crime which was committed before that, and no people seem to be satisfied with that. But I think we should find a way of dealing with that, perhaps in this forum, perhaps again with the relevant people, especially those who always accept settlements with our money. But I wanted to say to Dr. Mampo, as you deal with the expenditures, so that you are forewarned, don't accept the explanation of COVID. This time in this financial year, there was no lockdown that prevented companies from working. So that explanation has lost flavor, and it won't be acceptable. So when you deal with whoever dealing with, try to find a better reason. The COVID restriction reason that won't be accepted by this committee. Support staff, I had requested you to do a research on the department institutions which are perennial and underspenders, right? Obviously, you'll be seeing the reasons that they've been giving us at different times. But all members, what I want to do is to write to those departments now, so that they don't always rely on Dr. Mampo, so that they can tell us exactly what they are doing, why they are underspending, and what corrective measures are they going to have, and what are their projections as far as the year end is concerned. How much of the budget would they have been used? So that we try and find some carrot and stick approach, I propose, so that we should be able to move funds. People are going to use funds, not people are going to bank the money that has been borrowed at high cost to the fiscal.
Honorable Mare, please mute. Honorable Mare, please mute. Thank you. Dokotela. Mampo, please.
I'm here, Chair. I just want Rendani to start with the security cluster matters, and then I will end with the DTIC and the portal. Rendani?
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me address one issue raised by, I think it's Honorable Kaiso, the allocation for goods and services. Over and above what you are seeing, the 250 million for police, through reprioritization, they are also making provision for goods and services. The biggest pressure is on COE, as they have to deploy additional police personnel. And then the issue of the convictions, investigation of crime, corruption in the private sector, I will reiterate again that perhaps the invitation of the criminal justice system, because there are issues of alternative dispute resolution mechanisms. So when do they apply alternative dispute resolution mechanisms vis-a-vis locking up these criminals in correctional facilities? I will propose that perhaps maybe a conversation with the criminal justice system, maybe it can shed more light on issues like this. Thanks.
Now, that's fine. Sorry, ma'am. That's fine, Rendan. We hear that. I'll retort by saying that alternate dispute resolution should be colorblind. Dr. Mampo?
Thank you, Chairperson. So the question on the details, we're working parallel, the systems are parallel. So the DTIC is capturing all of this information now that we are still working on the portal. And once the portal is ready, that information will be transferred to the portal to make sure that there are no issues. So for now, that information would be in the DTIC. When we were talking to them and considering their funding mechanism, what we said to them was that they have to report on a monthly basis on the spending of this and basically monitoring the spending pattern. So we have included that condition when we gave them the allocation. But for now, they will be responsible to make sure that they capture the information through the DTIC and other entities that they'll be using. But once the portal is ready, that information will be transferred to the portal so that we can consolidate the systems. Chairperson, those would be the queries that I needed to respond to. Thank you very much.
I thought I was going to get your comment when I said that please don't accept the reason of people not being able to do work because of COVID-19 lockdown. I said the financial year under review, there was never a time when businesses were said they must.
I agree, Chairperson. And yeah, I'm looking at my report. I'm like, yo, Meleng Yishinji.
Yeah. But they must come with some better reasons, not that one. Thank you.
Chair.
Chair.
One last input. I'm not going to say anything after this.
Yeah, no problem.
It's with regards to this issue where we provide, I know it's not a national treasury issue, but it needs to be, this discussion needs to be held at a broader government forum. The issue where we provide no protection to locals in the labor market. I want to give an example, Chairperson. In 2007, the African Peer Review Mechanism issued a report, a country report on South Africa, where they warned about an unfair competition between South Africans in the labor market and illegal and undocumented migrants. The point I'm making is that obviously, we will not discriminate. We can create a framework that will ensure that it does not discriminate against other people unfairly. But the fact of the matter is, we can't be giving money to companies that are not patriotic, to companies that do not employ South Africans for racist reasons. I'm making this point because I once said in Cape Town, there was a white company, a restaurant at Sea Point, that declared and said to people, I'm not going to employ South Africans here because they are lazy, right? Now, if you go around the country, the hospitality and other sectors, these companies proudly employ people, not because they like them, but because they want to exploit them, right? And it's about the profit motive. Now, I'm saying, if you look at the number of companies and the malls and the shopping centers that have been looted, something has to be done to ensure that South Africans are employed in those companies. But otherwise, why do we then put taxpayers' money into that? Why do we bail them out with taxpayers' money? They should tap into their reserves if they can and then continue as they please. But we need to create a framework and some form of regulation which is going to make sure that South Africans are not excluded from an employment perspective now, not as business owners, from the economic mainstream of the country. Otherwise, we're doing a disservice to the people who actually elected us to parliament if we don't address this issue.
Honorable Kwank, I think it's a valid point. You can add the trucking business. It has been also identified as a sector where owners deliberately discriminate against South Africans. Dr. Mampo, I think what we are saying is that please can you consider that. Because we must start somewhere as a condition of a bailout, because that's what we are doing to these companies as it were. that there should be a framework of some sort, the question of ensuring that the majority of people who benefit from employment opportunities are by and large South Africans. We shouldn't be afraid to say that and even to put those conditions. And in most cases, you'll find that people who are undocumented in the country, they also don't pay tax. So the money that we are appropriating here is a taxpayer's money. So I think the point is valid. Please look at it. And as well as saying, let's start somewhere. Okay.
Yes, Chairperson, we'll definitely consider it when we discuss with the departments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I don't think there's anything which needs you, not unless there's something you are itching to tell the committee, Dr. Mampo, or that we are done.
Chairperson, I will bring my itchy issues when I can present the spending. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll then be going to agenda item number five. We'll be looking at the minutes of the 24th of August, 2021. Darren, minutes. I'm right. Minutes of the 24th of August. Honourable members, they were sent to us. Oh, yes. Any mover for the adoption?
Chair, it's Honourable Sarupin. I move for the adoption.
Thank you, Honourable Sarupin. Any seconder?
I second, Chair. It's Matafa.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Matafa. That takes care of agenda item number five. Colleagues, support staff. Is anyone able to respond to the issue that I raised? That I had said let's start the process of trying to identify the underspenders and so on. Support staff, somebody must say something. Yes. Did you hear my question?
Yes, Chairperson, I've got the question. And yes, we have taken the brief and we are discussing it. We've discussed it with Noliolo as the researchers and Usifiso, and we are already working on it, Chairperson. Maybe what will help, Chairperson, for sometimes is to set your own deadline. If we can submit ourselves, Chairperson, maybe you give us a deadline that we can work on so that we can put pressure on ourselves.
Tomorrow.
A bit too much, Chairperson.
Chairperson, no.
We have these activities.
You must be careful what you ask for because you may just get it. Let's discuss it.
Chairperson, it will be ready before we engage National Treasury Chairperson on the second on the first quarter expenditure.
Okay, we'll talk, but it's something that we need definitely to deal with so that we also seem to be proactive on some of these things, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Darren, are there any announcements from your side?
Chairperson, no announcements from my side.
And what are we
tomorrow, the link will follow after the immediately after this meeting. I'm sending out the link, Chairperson.
Okay. Tomorrow. And we're meeting PPO tomorrow.
We're meeting with the FFC Chairperson also on this bill.
Okay. Thank you. That's takes care of agenda item number 6. Oral members, this brings us to the end of the meeting, and thank you very much for raising the issues that you have raised, and we should continue doing that on an ongoing basis. Thank you. The meeting stands adjourned.